Tonight, we're still in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, and we're on page number 18 in the book, question number 8. This first part of the chapter, the questions here, can be challenging, but we must not overlook the theme in this chapter or kind of the idea that's going there is that's being all of God's children being united. And it's because of the righteousness of God. We'll see the example, I think we'll get to it tonight, of Adam, how sin entered into the world through Adam, and how sin was cured in the world through Christ. The first Adam and the second Adam is called and termed in some places. And so, once again, this is based on the last chapter, or to me, a continuation of the last chapter, where he's trying to prove that God is righteous because of what he does. Don't look at what the people do, look at what God does. And in this chapter, you know, as I said, we see the justification of his children, people brought to, or followers that are brought together. Question number 8, based on number 8, verse 8. Says, how did God really show the greatness of his love for us?
Through the crucifixion of Christ.
While we're still sinners, he still gave Christ, knowing that we are still sinners and we would still sin. Yep. Remember chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then we'll see later on in this chapter, it's kind of mentioned again in similar words. How many times does Paul use the words much more in this chapter?
5 times.
Yep, that's what I got. 5 times. Verse 9, verse 10, verse 15, verse 17. And verse 20. So that means it must be significant, this idea of much more, which we'll get into in another question a little further down. Number 10 says, explain the following verses in your own words. Verse number 9. Verse 9 says, much more, then being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Okay, so the task there is to put it in your own words. Yep, verse 9. This idea of being protected from the wrath of God is an important concept because this plays in the righteousness of God as well. While we indicates that we are in sin, we have no hope, we have no way of getting out of it. Christ still died for us, verse 8. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, that is the shedding of his blood, we shall be saved from him, from the wrath of God. And if you think about the wrath of God is something that is the end. There's nothing more powerful than that. Nothing bigger than the wrath of God. The wrath of God, we know, Paul would encourage later, not in Romans, but another book, in the epistles, where he talks about who we should fear. Fear him who is able to what? Destroy. Body and soul. That's who you fear. Who has that power? God. God is the one who has that power. Satan can cause us to fit that situation, but I don't think he even has the power for that. Verse number 10, explain that one.
Isaiah 59:1-2. Sin separates the most horrible thing that can happen to an individual is to be separated from God.
Absolutely.
Sin separates us from God. When we think about it in those terms, it brings it a lot more important, I think, to us in that we need, for lack of a better expression,
yep. In verse 10, what makes us an enemy?
Sin.
Sin makes us the enemy of God. Now, what brings us back to God?
We're reconciled by the blood of Christ.
By the blood of Christ. So here we see it again. The blood saves us from the wrath of God. The blood also causes us to be reconciled with God, be made one with Him again. So there's two very important things that this much more does. And it's a big thing. He's emphasizing it here. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say that if anybody ever questions you about blood of Christ reconciling us back to God or redeeming us, which means bringing right back. If you look at Ephesians, what's it, the fifth chapter? It explains it.
I believe it's the fourth chapter because of Christ and the church in chapter 5. And I could be remembering that wrong, too. And also you think about it in verse 10, that our lives were exchanged for His life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Brother Daniel Gaines one time brought it up in a lecture at... Where was we at? Was that, I think we was at the leadership seminar. I can't remember for sure if it was that. But it was along in that same week. And he brought up the idea, how close did the devil come to winning? It was close. All Jesus would have done is called 12 legions of angels. All Jesus would have done to say, not today. All he would have had to done was give in to the flesh. Remember, he was in the garden, and how the sweat that was shed, the blood come out of his skin because of the great agony he was under, which is a condition, by the way, that you can bring upon yourself, showing great agony and great decision. He just said, they ain't worth it. Yeah, I'm not doing this. They ain't worth it. Ephesians 2?
Yeah.
About the blood of Christ. So when you think about it in those terms, it's like, wow. Makes it more precious, or it should make it more precious to us. Because he could have chose not to do this. He could have said, God, Father, let's just start over. Let's just wad it up and throw it away. Start over. Go to another planet.
But he didn't. Think about his loss. If you think about it in greed, God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that that millennium before he ever created the earth and man.
Yeah, because the Old Testament talks about before the foundation of the world. Yeah.
And you know, God did not lie. So he made those promises.
Yeah, the Bible says that. which God cannot lie. That was one of the phrases. Yeah, it was done. This was the way it was going to happen because of the foreknowledge of God. He knew how it was going to happen, the redemption of man. And I didn't want to throw that out there that he was contemplating that. I don't mean that at all. I don't think there was any crack in his. This is going to happen, you know. And you know, he's talked about this was planned from the foundation of the world. This was, you know, this was the will. This is the way it was going to happen, and he was going to carry it out no matter what. Yeah, yeah. Physical pain. Yeah.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace.
Very, very, very key verses there.
You know, I would have been thinking, do I have my disciples, you know, lined up for this? Are they ready for this? I love them, and now they're going to.
If I can find it right quick, there is a time where Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and it talks about how that some didn't, John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we have believed and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who should betray him, being one of the 12. This is one of the saddest passages in the New Testament, because the people was there, they had Christ, and from it, and they outright rejected him. It's almost, I don't think it's almost as a deep emotional reaction as it was for Paul. You remember we studied the book of Acts, and that one city he went to, and they just, nobody would listen. You know, nobody would respond, you know, and you could tell he was pretty upset about it. Just couldn't believe it. Well, Jesus, back on what you were talking about, you know, this obviously was bothering him. That they turned and went, and then because he asked the question, will you go away also? And then you have Peter's response. And then verse 70 is what I wanted to emphasize. Have I not chosen you 12? Because he knew they wouldn't turn away. That's why he picked them. Even though one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, was going to turn his back. You know, later he's replaced. We read in Acts chapter 1, he's replaced by Matthias. And then we have Paul added a little later on, which made your 13 and 14, or you want to count them, replacement 12 and then number 13. But there was a reason he picked them, because he knew they wasn't going to, all of them, he knew all of them wasn't going to turn away. Something to think about. Question number 11 is, what is the atonement we have received?
The blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ. Well, think about this idea of atonement. If I'm remembering this correctly, atonement is a legal term and carries on the idea. Just a second here, I brought up the wrong thing. All right. This idea of atonement actually carries on the idea of exchanging. So he took our place so that we wouldn't have to give account of ourselves. That's the idea behind atonement. Jesus literally took our place. This idea of atonement also carries on the idea of an accounting type term, because it's an exchange, like in business. An exchange. We don't use the word that way, but it's literally, it means something to, along the lines of a business of money changers, like bankers, exchanging equivalents for value, for things of equivalent value. So it'd be like using money in the marketplace, using money in the bank, or somewhere like something like that. You're taking it and exchanging it for something else. Jesus did that for us by taking our place. Question number 12 is, by what means did sin enter into the world?
Adam.
Sin entered into the world. What's the first recorded sin we have? Well, think about it. Think about the hierarchy of the family. Who does God generally go to in the Old Testament? The responsible individual.
The buck stops here.
Buck stops here. Even though she was a participant in it, he's the responsible for the family. So that's why God held him accountable. I mean, she was held accountable too. But, you know, if you remember back, he said that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. Something to be desired, and said it tasted pretty good. So they ate it and said, oh, this ain't too bad. Then their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. And then they sewed fig leaves together. Or no, it doesn't say fig leaves. Was it say skins or something? Put that together. And then God approaches them and says, where are you? Because they hid from him. And he knew where they was at, but he wanted them to say it. Where are you? Or to answer, he said, where are you? And then what does he do? Starts the blame game. Isn't that what people do a lot of times, the blame game? That woman you gave me caused this to happen.
It does say fig leaves.
Was it fig leaves? Okay, okay.
I think they saw fig leaves given by God later on.
That's right. He gave them skins. That's right. Later
it says,
on.
And
so anyway, sin entered into the world because of that transgression. All is, you know, the famous two-letter word could have been used and wasn't used, no. And so that's how sin entered into the world. And so the serpent's been made to crawl on his belly ever since. And man was to till, you know, they lived in the Garden of Eden. It, to me, seems to indicate they probably didn't have to work that hard for the food. That changed. Now you're going to have weeds and briars and thorns to grow any stuff. You got to till the ground. You got to do all kinds of this. And then for the women, they made it painful in childbearing, as a reminder.
That should tell us something right there. Woman bears children. Woman bears.
Yes.
Even though there are people today that don't believe that truth.
And we need to get back. It's the sin entered into the world through Adam. Now, the next one says, what came as a consequence of the sin, or that's one sin.
Death.
Now we're able to be separated from God. I guess I made that too positive of a statement. Now we are separated from God because of sin that entered into the world. Next part it says, is this spiritual or physical death?
No.
I think it's both. We know that we die physically and spiritually when we separate ourselves from God. We don't participate in the blessings of God when we separate ourselves from Him. Number 13 says, death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. In what way did we all sin in Adam? And then he gives the reference there of Hebrews 7, 9, and 10, and I think that's an incorrect reference.
Adam is the one that introduced sin into the world.
Yep.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense to me.
Yep, that's why I think it's a wrong reference, because I looked at chapter 4, chapter after, and it's like, that makes more sense.
Well, you think it's supposed to be chapter 8?
No, I don't know. I never did settle it in my mind to what I thought where he was going, but I believe what he was looking for there, you know, making the statement, death passed upon all men for all his sins. Because of Adam's sin, death entered into the world. And the question is, in what way did we all sin in Adam?
Well,
so
when God came down, once they had done that, remember their eyes are open?
Yep.
You know, and it's a whole different world for them once they had done, you know, gone against, and all of a sudden they were aware. You know, before they were in La La Land, you know, utopia. You know, everything was good. And then all of a sudden their eyes are open and there's another side to it.
Yep.
And so once he opened the door, all men are going to go through it.
So what is, think about that. So that is what in relation to sin? There's a consequence of the sin.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a consequence of Adam's sin. This is what you're talking about. Now we have a knowledge of things that God didn't really intend for us to have, as far as that goes, but now we do. So the consequences of Adam's sin is the problem. What law is talked about in verse 13?
The law of Moses.
The law of Moses. And how does verse 13 show that the world, through men, did not have the law of Moses? They still had law. That's a brain twister on that one.
God's instruction. We if you think about Romans 10, 16, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God gives us instruction. He gives us instruction in everything. And it's up to us to follow that instruction. Just as it's up to them to follow the instruction that he was given. He was up to Adam and Eve to follow it. He was up to the patriarchs to follow it. And then he was up to the Jews under the law of Moses to follow it. This is different for us today.
Yeah. Patriarchal law. Sin was in the world. He's pointing that out in that verse. Sin was in the world before the law of Moses. And notice that it's mentioned there that sin is pointed out by the law. So the patriarchal law, or some call the natural law, was in effect before Moses.
Is that kind of what people believe?
Somewhat. You know that it's wrong to kill somebody.
But you
would know that if nobody told you.
If you go back and look at Noah to me is a good example. Noah did everything that God instructed him. Right?
Yes.
He did everything that God instructed him.
So that would go beyond the law of nature. God was talking.
Well, see, he was, at that time, remember, he was doing it through the heads of families.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily the heads of households, it was the heads of families. And so that's the way he was communicating to them. Sin, yes, was in the world, but it wasn't pointed out by the law because the law did not exist. That, talking about the law of Moses. But the patriarchal, as you might say, or the natural law was in existence. Question 15 says, what was the difference between the way men sinned from Adam to Moses and the way Adam sinned? Verse 14.
Adam disobeyed a direct command. He was spoken directly to him with what we say face to face,
yep.
And then from Adam and Moses, was, like you said, was the head of the household.
Yeah, because he was told directly from God. I also thought about the idea here as well. I don't know, this one to me was a little bit of a head scratcher. I was thinking about the natural law, you know, was from directly from God, was up through, you know, Adam up to Moses, and then after that, instead of the heads of households and the heads of families, it was the law was given through Moses and the prophets. So the method changed. It was through Moses and the prophets instead of directly to the families. Huh?
That was just to the Israelites.
Yes.
So the rest of the people had still went by
the natural law. The law unto themselves, as we talked about in chapter 1. Romans 1 and 2, the law, the ones that was a law unto, the, like the law unto themselves. Like I said, you know, there's still a lot of things in there. We know not to kill. We know to be compassionate. Just things you would know even if you didn't know God directly, even though God is telling, you know, has made the argument, or Paul made the argument that you can know God and know that he exists by the things that you see around you, as well as the way he presented himself to Job. He never said, "I'm great." You ever notice that? But he told him through nature that he was great. He never said, "I am." He never talked about how good that I am, but he showed him all those things in nature that spoke and screamed of the goodness as well as the righteousness of God. And Paul uses the same type arguments. Witness, open your eyes and look around. As I can't remember if I mentioned it here, but the James Webb Telescope. Oh, what a fascinating thing that is. You need to look that up if you hadn't seen it. First off, the image, I want a poster of it.
Is that
the new telescope?
Oh, isn't it
something? And they said what they're looking at, it said if you had put a grain of sand on the tip of your finger and held it as far as you could, so that would be about the size of what that thing's looking at in the universe. What's really got me excited about it is with the laws of entropy, is that everything's coming to completion, or things are going from order to disorder. In other words, getting old. We see that your car wears out, goes to disorder, it has to be reordered. You know, things that we get old, our bodies wear down. That's what that's talking about. So with that idea, what they say, the Big Bang Theory people, that when the blast happened, which I don't believe, and that when you blow something up, what happens as it goes out? Think about it. The wave, what happens to the wave? It slows down and finally dissipates. Well, what they've been believing of for years and years, and they do this through color, light color. There's a way you can tell how fast something is traveling at a great distance by the color of the light. You can't, at a shorter distance, you can't really do that with your eyes. It's because we can't, that's too close. So what they've been observing, they confirmed this with the Hubble telescope. they thought. Hubble telescope cannot see what the James Webb telescope can see. So anyway, they started looking at the colors. They started looking at the positions, and they started looking at the movement, and they said, it's getting faster. Totally disrupted everything that they had believed about the Big Bang Theory. So I expect that they're either going to hide the James Webb telescope, they're not going to write about it in the history books, and you're going to have people, the real scientists stomping and spitting at the bit because they won't do it. Because that telescope just showed them the existence of God through nature. Everything we thought we knew just got turned upside down. God just turned it upside down and said, yeah, you don't know anything. You thought it was all slowing down. That supported your Big Bang Theory. Well, look at what I just done. It is.
You know, to me, when I looked at that, I thought it was, really beautiful. I mean, the colors
and everything. Oh, yeah.
But it looks like it's still producing or whatever you want.
Yeah, it's still moving out. According to the colors and the things they're seeing through that telescope, which the moving out's not the expanding, the expanding, quote, cosmos. That's why it's called a continuum. A continuum has no end. That's why they call it the continuum of space. And anyway, it's upset the scientific world because now the Big Bang Theory doesn't look like it's plausible anymore. Because what they believed about these things, this just showed them that it's not true.
What I'm waiting for is I'm waiting for them to discover that there hasn't been ancient aliens that came here thousands of years ago and built all of these things that exist.
Yeah. What I say, the aliens that came here and done it was called the Word of God. And who is that? Jesus Christ. That's who did it.
What we were talking about, we were born in the image of God, so we have a certain amount of instincts, and that includes probably a certain amount of knowing what's right and wrong as far as the laws of nature.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. That's part of the agenda that they have pushed. Put your tin foil hat on for a minute. No. what they've been pushing for about 70 to 90 years, with the breakup of the home, through the women's movement, the women's rights movement, even go a little bit further back than that with Woodrow Wilson and all of them. When they come up with those ideas of suppressing the black history, that you need to look at, that is so interesting. And rewriting the history books, that's kind of the pivotal point of where some of this started. That's around 1912, 13, 14, right around in there. And then that led up to the Women's March. Now we don't know, the homosexual movement in the 80s. These are all planned events. They're events along the timeline. They might have occurred differently than they think. And the breakup of the family. This is all in breaking up of the family. So what do you do when you break up the family? You break up the church. So Jesus is who's standing in the way. The church is standing in the way for completion. So whenever they're doing these things to make that happen, to cause Jesus to be wiped out of the way, it's really so they can eliminate the church. And everybody's going to worship something. That is the way we are created. We are created to worship. So what's going to be your God? The God of heaven? The government?
Money?
What's it going to be? Satan? Something's going to fill that void. We've all chosen to fill it with God, the true God. People of the world, right now, through these events I just talked about, these pivotal things along our history in this country, they're creating the atmosphere of where people will have the government to worship them, to worship. That's going to fill that hole. That's what the goal is. Remove Jesus, remove God, and then we're there to fill the hole.
Just like
fill the gap.
Mm-hmm. Or with Russia that outlawed religion, they wanted the people to shake the government.
We have seen this before. This is not new.
Yeah, and you know, every culture that you study has to have an origin story. You know, the Indians, every culture has their own origin story. And you're right about, you know, it's innate in us to want to know, where did it come from, and what are we supposed to do?
And when we put the God of heaven in there, it really fulfills us. But we put these other things in there, you have a bunch of people who's partially fulfilled.
Well, I think that's what's causing all these mental problems.
Yeah.
If they get those kids in church.
Yeah, it would change the whole outlook. Yeah.
You wouldn't have mental problems as much.
Yes, sir.
If we think about it, all you have to do is look different things that God has asked. It says, don't do some monkeypox is spread by homosexuality. And God's saying that. Don't do that. That's just like AIDS, he said. Don't do that.
Yep. There's some similarities there.
Do you remember what he said?
I'd have to look it up to get the direct quote.
This was God's way.
Of cleansing.
Yeah. And he was not
that. Think about all these things we're talking about. It's a consequence of sin. It is a consequence of sin. Number 16 is, of who is Adam a figure? Jesus Christ, verse 14. Put in your own words much more argument in verse 15.
Because of.
What'd you say?
Because of.
That's pretty good. What I've thought about too is because this is a pivotal point in this verse for the next section of the argument. Now he's going to start making the argument that the grace of God is able to cover sin. It can take care of it. That is the solution. That's the solution to the sin problem, is the grace of God. Number 18, it talks about the explained, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification.
We're justified by the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ is able to cover all sin. So if we're repentant of our sins, all would be all inclusive.
That's right. I'm going to read to you verse 16 out of the English Standard Translation. I thought it helped put some understanding on it. It says, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. When we get into the next chapter, you know, it's starting to sound like the more you sin, the more you get, right? In the next chapter, he begins to deal with that idea, chapter 6. But what I think he's trying to say to us is that grace can cover it. It's big enough. It's enough of it to go around and can cover it and bring the sinner to justification. That's the important thing, important point I think he's making there, is this grace brings us, covers the sin, and brings us unto justification. Makes us covered, covers it, and makes us just as if we have never sinned in the eyes of God. Otherwise, we'd never be able to approach God in any shape, form, or fashion.
That's one thing I don't think we'll think enough about, is sin separates us from God. And we don't, under the old law, understood that for they were talking. And we're not taught that anymore, that sin still can separate us from God.
That's right. Isaiah, he spent a lot of time on that concept in the Old Testament. Sin can bring, can separate you from God.
Well, you know, there's this song that, and you can look around at people that, you know, they don't, you, if they've got problems, like, you know, drinking or drug or whatever, they have to hit rock bottom. Wake up one day and look around and say, I'm at the bottom. There's, you know, and then they repent, and then, you know, then they get in their mind, once they do that, then they just start coming back, and they can come back from it. But until they hit the bottom, there's a song about that. Just maybe do that. You know, you have to hit
sometimes. And I think there is some, you know, proof through some psychology or whatever that we had a lot of times in the rock bottom.
Just think about the many things that we say sin separates us from God. Just think about the many things that we no longer have a blessing of if we are in sin. Maybe one of the greatest things is to be able to pray to God. And if you read back to Isaiah, sin keeps him from hearing this.
Yeah, prayers go nowhere. It's just wasted words. First John chapter 1, verse 7. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness or all sin. Important verse. This, what we're talking about tonight, is in support of that verse. Those verses there.
That was 1 John 1.
Chapter 1, verse 7. You want to get the full thing, go 7 through 9, the full thought there. So in there he says, if we're in the light, as he is in the light, we're having fellowship with Christ because he's in the light. Which makes sense, doesn't it? Go where he is. The knowledge of God, yep. Yeah, because the verses before that talks about how that light, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Yeah. And if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us.
We can't walk in the light if we don't have
knowledge of God. That's right. All right, anything else? Well, I believe we'll stop right there and pick up with question 19, and then we'll be... take the next leg of the argument there. All right, appreciate your comments and kind attention this evening.